We're doing Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. We're beginning the 43rd chapter. And we begin with a quote from a Mishnah of Pirkei Avos. The Medrash says, Tshuva u'ma'asim tovim, repentance and good deeds, kitris lifnei ha'puranut, are like a shield before puranut is bad things that might happen. So before tragedy strikes, you could put up a shield, and the shield is tshuva and ma'asim tovim, repentance and good deeds. Rabbi Akiva omer, nivret ha'teshuva. Rabbi Akiva says the concept of tshuva was created before the world was created. Before God could create a world, God says, first I gotta have the concept of tshuva because I'm creating a world for human beings, and human beings are not perfect. So before you could create the world, you have to have the capacity for tshuva. And maybe that's something to think about in our own lives. All of you guys are bachelors headed for marriage. Before God could create the big world, he had to have room for error. We're dealing with a human being. Before we think about creating our own world, our own marriage, we have to be able to deal with our spouse's errors, their foibles, their weaknesses, because we're marrying a human being. And they're not going to change so easily. That's one of the messages we see from our parsha with On Ben Pelet. So, Nivret HaTshuva, first the concept of tshuva had to be created. The concept that they're going to make mistakes and I got to give them room to work it out. And only then the world. Uyimin HaKadosh Baruch Hu Pshuta Lekavel Shavim Bechol Yom. And it's not only out there, but God, so to speak, extends out his right hand to pull people in. He extends it beyond the courts. He says, we won't talk about exacting justice. We'll just talk about come back. God extends his right hand to accept those that want to return. The Medrash said earlier that every day there's a trumpet that sounds out there that says, come back, whoever wants. You're welcome back. Ve'omer shuvu bnei adam. And God declares, human beings, I want you back. Bnei Adam means sons of Adam, which means all of humanity. This isn't a Jewish thing, this is a human being thing. God says, I want all of humanity to advance and to repent. So that's the first thought we see in the Medrash. The importance of tshuva. Number two, the Medrash continues and says, Teidalecha koach hatzedakah vehatshuva. You want to see how potent tzedakah, charity, and tshuva are? I'll show it to you. Bo u'ei me'achav melech Yisrael. You could come see Achav, the king of Israel. Achav. What was Achav? He and his wife murdered Novos, he murdered, his wife murdered, all the prophets, Izebel, right? Pretty bad king. But then he repented. Shasa tshuva gdola, that he did a massive tshuva. He did a tremendous tshuva, a repentance after all his sins. Shegazal v'chamas v'ratzach, for he stole and he took by force. And he murdered. Pretty bad guy. As we see the prophet tells him, are you going to murder and then take the inheritance? He sent word to Yehoshaphat. They were relatives through marriage. And he had Yehoshaphat, the pious Judean king, come and give him lashes 40 days, 40 times, three times a day. Every time before he'd stand Shmona Esrei in the morning, he'd say, Yehoshaphat, come give me lashes. I have to do tshuva, help me out. Three times a day, Shachris, Mincha, Mayriv, Achav is getting lashes. So he doesn't go out in the public square. He doesn't do it by his commissioner for giving lashes. He has a fellow king give him the lashes. But he does it. Uvitzom, uvitfilah, yamashkim u'mariv lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he'd fast and he'd pray morning and night before God. So Achav really wants to do tshuva. Vayalsek v'torah kol yamav. And he dealt in Torah throughout his days. It says that initially, before Achav started sinning, he was a big Talmid Chacham. He used to know all of Torah's Kohanim. He used to know the whole Medrash on the book of Vayikra, which is the most difficult Medrash. He had 85 traditions on it. He had 85 different ways of proving the laws in Torah's Kohanim. So, you see, in our parsha, you could have a Korach, a guy who knows a lot of Torah, but veers off the path. And that's what happened with Achav, a huge Talmud Chacham, but he veered off the path. And the truth is that we have a slight indication of this with the story of Ben-Hadad. Ben-Hadad, the Aramean king, came to attack Achav. And Achav said, "You don't have to attack. I know you're stronger than me. What do you want? I'll give you. You want my wealth? You want my children? What do you want? I'll give you. There's no point in having a battle." So Ben-Hadad said, "Okay, tomorrow I'll send my officers, and they'll go through your storage houses, and they'll go through your treasury, and they'll choose what they like. But I'm telling you, what I want is every Sefer Torah. I want to cut out God's name. I want to burn your Sefer Torah. That's what I want, because your Torah says that we are treated unfairly, our people." So Ben-Hadad wants to destroy the Torah. So what does Achav do? He's willing to give up his children. He's willing to give up his wealth. But he calls in the sages and he said, "What am I supposed to do now? He wants to destroy the Torah. That's not mine. You, the sages, you tell me what to do." So you see, Achav was quite a character. He's serving idols. He's importing pagan priests from the north, from something of a tzaddi, I forgot the name. His wife came from the north, but Izebel Bat, forgot the name. But when he comes to the Torah, he's not willing to give it up. So the elders tell him, "Go to war. You're right. We're not giving him the Torah to burn. His wealth he was willing to give. His kids he was willing to give. Everything that he wanted. Not the Torah." So you see, Achav had redeeming qualities. And when the time came to do tshuva, he did a complete tshuva. And he dealt in Torah. V'lo chazal l'maaseh marayim. And he never went back to his evil ways. It says later on, he gathered the prophets. He was about to go to war. You guys know how Achav ended up. He was about to go to war. He gathered 400 prophets. He asked them what's going to be. They all said, "You'll go and be victorious." So they call in Elisha. Elisha said, "What do you want me for? Your prophets all said it's going to be okay." So he said, "I told you I want the word of God. Don't play games with me." So he says, "Well, God says that there's a spirit up there that decided to fool all your prophets. The spirit of Navos, who you murdered, has come with the claim that he wants to go out and trick you. And so he's fooled all your prophets. And I see that the camp is going to scatter. The troops are going to run. And you're going to die." So that's his prophecy. So they put him in bondage. And Achav says, "When I come back alive, then we'll punish him." Now, who were these 400 prophets who all said, "You're going to be successful"? So at first glance, we think, "Oh, sure, those are his false prophets, the pagan priests." Along comes the Medrash and says, "No. Achav repented and never went back to his sinful ways." So then you have to understand that those were true prophets, and that's why Elisha has to explain there's a spirit that's involved here, the spirit of the murdered Navos that was given license to fool the prophets. Whatever that means. So, the end of the story you guys know. Achav tells Yehoshaphat, "We'll go to war together. Let's switch clothing. I'll give you the royal clothing. I'll wear your clothing." They go to war. The archmen and all the warriors see Yehoshaphat. They see him in Achav's clothing. They say, "Charge!" They run at him. He yelps. They see, hey, that's not Achav. They retreat. And so Yehoshaphat doesn't die. But one man was pulling his bow, shot his arrow, and God wanted him to get Achav. So Achav was shot, and they got it right in between his armor and right in the heart, like right in the middle of his breastplate. And the whole day, Achav was bleeding to death, but he wouldn't turn around because he didn't want the people to lose the battle. Caring for his people more than his own life, he stood there as though he was okay. And at the end of the day, he bled to death. He died. They lost that battle. The people did run home. But because Achav, you see how valiant he was. He did everything so the people wouldn't lose. He even gave up his own life.
He died as it was prophesied. The dog's legs.
Oh. Perfect. Mike. Wow, right. Okay. So, it's interesting. My wife has a great uncle or something who was in World War II. He was on a boat, and they'd shoot at the planes, and they had kamikaze planes, and they'd have planes passing, and they'd like mow down the plane with bullets, the planes as they pass overhead. And they'd sit with the machine gun shooting up at the planes, and you know, who's gonna get who? So this great uncle of my wife's, he was sitting there, and the gunman next to him, their H on a machine gun, tells him, "I think I'm gonna die today. Could we switch seats? I have a bad feeling about this seat." So he says, "Sure, you think that's what's going to make the difference? No problem." They switch seats. They switch seats, and 2 minutes later, an airplane comes and shoots down and kills the other guy. Had he not switched seats, he would have lived. And the same thing, there was a fantastic Jew here in Jerusalem named Weil. He had a shoe store. He took in an orphan, a guy who was an orphan, he took into his store. And they came in the draft. There was the war here, the War of Independence. And the guy said, "Look, I lost my whole family in the Holocaust. I'm the only one left from my family. If I go out to war, I'm finished. I'm not going. They want someone. You go. I'll take care of the store." So the store owner had to go, meaning the young man said, "I'm not leaving. I'm all that's left for my family." And he went out to the post office, and a bomb went off, and he died. Mr. Wild came back. He just passed away 3-4 months ago. He lived a very long life. We have to do our best to live. Don't get the wrong idea. But sometimes it's like Achav and Yehoshaphat. God had in mind this guy's going to go. That's it. You can play all the games in the world. Okay. You never know.
He would have got him in the other seat anyway. So.
I don't know what would have happened. That's why he's running the show, not me. I don't know. So Achav, we can learn the great strength of tshuva. That he did a true tshuva, v'nirtzet tshuvato, and his tshuva was accepted by Hashem. Shneimar, as Hashem says to Eliyahu, "Haraita k'nichna Achav mipanai." Take note, Eliyahu. Achav has really done tshuva, and so as the pasuk concludes, because Yan k'nichna Achav mipanai, lo avi arabi amav, I will not bring the bad prophecy in his days. I will push it off a generation. Because of Achav's true tshuva. So here we see the strength of tshuva. As sinful as he was, murder, theft, everything. False prophet, murdering the prophets. But at the end of the day, when he did a real tshuva, so it was accepted. And Bezlachim, next time, we'll continue with the power of tshuva that's learned from David HaMelech.